أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I am doing a lecture on Halloween. This is based off of the Elevate teachings. And there are some history points and what Halloween means as well inside this lecture. The first part of this lecture, I have dedicated it to the youth. However, the parents will, inshallah, be able to gain something from it. There is a second part of this lecture that is for parents, and they are to have their own, you know, judgment whether or not the child or the youth is able to, you know, stay and listen to that part of the lecture and understand it. So, what we will discuss. Halloween has pagan roots. Superstitions, other religions take on Halloween, the poor, Islamic view, and an advice for parents which include fatwas and higher level discussion. The history of Halloween. It is believed that the ritual of Halloween was started by ancient Celtic festivals and adapted by some Christians, participating in a ritual associated with Satan worshippers is abominable and un-Islamic. The Holy Prophet was always concerned about Muslims having their own identity in their appearance and practices, different from pagans, that of Christians and of Jews. The Noble Prophet abhorred following the ways of non-Muslims. The first believed in Halloween were those who practiced paganism. This was a polytheistic religion which had hundreds of gods. Celtic gods and goddesses represented the element of forces from what we know. The majority of these gods took the form of animals. This is the religion practiced known today as animism. And for the youth, I'm sure that maybe in your school, you guys have talked about this with indigenous culture, because they do have this similar belief in animism. Also, other beliefs that were very important to the Celts. This is the belief that if you use certain magic or rituals, you could turn away evil spirits. This is particularly common practice when Celts were buried. The Americans began to dress up in costumes and go house to house asking for food or money, a practice that eventually became today's trick-or-treat. Young women believed that on Halloween they could divine the name or appearance of the future husband by doing tricks with yarn, apple pear, or mirrors. So the history of Halloween from the Christians' take. After the Romans conquered Britain, and with the rise of Christianity, Samhain was changed to Hallowmas, or All Saints' Day, or All Souls' Days. It is observed on November 1st to honor the All Saints in Heaven. It began on the evening of October 31st, which was called All Hallows' Eve. However, many will not celebrate the day, as we will discuss later. Dressing up in costumes. This was done so that the spirits of the dead would not recognize people. It was also done by people imitating supernatural beings that were believed to roam the earth at that time. Trick-or-treating, the priest would go from house to house on October 31st and demand specific type of food to offer to the saints in order to calm them. If their demands were not met, it was believed that the people of that home would be cursed with trouble, sickness, and even death. Prosperity was promised to those who generously donated, hence the phrase trick or treat, implying a demand for treats, or else there will be a certain consequence would have to be given. So let's talk about superstitions. We all know the black cat, and the superstition towards that is that it is evil, or one will have bad luck if they crossed it. Jack-o'-lanterns, the Celtic story. A farmer whose name was Jack One day I had too many drinks, alcoholic drinks, and decided to trick the devil. And because of his poor choice, he was banned from both heaven and hell, fated to exist in purgatory for the rest of his time. Jack carved a lantern out of a turnip to light his way through limbo. Bats were thought to be a gift from the devil bestowed upon women who'd promised their souls to him. Seeing a bat was a really bad thing. It foretold untimely death, and if a bat flew into the house on Halloween night, it was believed ghosts were present. The spider. Seeing a spider on Halloween means the spirit of the loved one is watching over you. Witches and broomsticks, cauldrons, trick-or-treat. So we talked about that a little bit. Samhain, the holiday Halloween is based on the spirits of the dead could walk freely among the living, and it was a horrible idea to turn them away empty-handed. Devil's Night of Mischief. This night is on Halloween, and it is known that mischief makers come around and they'll stoke bonfires and smash the jack-o'-lanterns. We also see this day here where I'm from. It actually starts the night before Halloween and goes into Halloween night as well. So it's 2 days here. The night before Halloween here is called Gate Night. I'm not sure if there's other names out there. There probably is different names that people use. And then people vandalize people's properties, the mischief makers, and they do bad things. They do haram things. They drink alcohol, and they're not very good people who steal things. So bobbing for apples is another superstition. Bobbing for them was believed to allow a person to see the future. It was thought that the first person to pluck an apple from the bucket without using their hands would be the first to marry. Facts of other religions. The Christian's view. In the Bible, we see a passage which says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think of these things." Is Halloween based on godly themes, such as the idea of peace, freedom, salvation? Or does the holiday bring to your mind a feeling of fear, obsession, and bondage? Does the Bible sanction witchcraft, witches, and sorcery? On the contrary, the Bible makes it clear that these practices are an abomination to the Lord. The Bible goes to say that in Leviticus, that anyone who practices witchcraft, soothsaying, sorcery should be killed. In Deuteronomy, added, "When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you, you who practice witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead, for all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord." So the Mennonites' view on Halloween. Many Mennonite families believe Halloween is a Satan's day, and thus they refrain from joining in on the mainstream celebration thereof, and discourages their children from engaging in any related activities. This is a very sensitive issue for many Mennonites. Many deem witches, ghosts, goblins, and monsters as being associated to evil. So, more facts on another religion, which is the Jews' laws. On Halloween leads to the conclusion that participating in Halloween celebration which is what collecting candy is when one is wearing costume, is prohibited. So it is not allowed. Halloween, since it has its origins in pagan practices and lacks any overt rational reason for its celebration other than its pagan origins or the Catholic response to it, is governed by the statement of Rabbi Israelis that such conduct is prohibited as its origins tainted. One should not send one's children out for trick-or-treat on Halloween or otherwise celebrate the holiday. So the West celebrations today for Halloween, both children and adults slip into the night as ghosts and goblins, princes and pirates. Many Americans and Canadians celebrate the tradition of Halloween by dressing in costumes and telling tales of witches and ghosts. But most of the 19th century and until today, Halloween was more than trick than treat. Mischief makers roam city streets and country roads, blowing horns and vandalizing both residents and businesses. In addition to playing relatively harmless tricks, some pranksters cause major inconveniences. Often special places were appointed to keep damage to a minimum. So the poor on Halloween. An estimated of $7.4 billion was spent on this holiday in 2014. In a world stricken with poverty and a malnutrition in many underprivileged countries, this amount seems rather ridiculous to be spending on candy costumes. In 2003, the major pumpkin producer states in America produces that 805 million pounds, an estimation valued at $81 million. This is an American amount. In Canadian, I was not able to find it, but I would assume that it's roughly around, if not maybe even more than that. So the United Nations World Food Program. They say that more than 800 million people go to bed without food every day. One child dies every 5 seconds in the world from hunger and other related causes. This seems like a huge amount. However, if we had just spent that amount of money that we spent on the candies and costumes and the pumpkins and all the decorations, those 800 million people that went to bed without food would have some food. Certainly, we would be able to put that money towards them, and we would not see such poverty in our world. Get your stats on. Evidence show that across both the United States and Canada, crime rates generally spike on Halloween as compared to any other consumer holiday. Between 2006 and 2009, crime around the city of Boston, which is in America, was 50% higher on October 31st than any other date all year. Similar in Canada, police have reported a 50% upsurge of weapon-related felonies during Halloween. Many universities do report an increase in alcohol-related offenses and crimes such as drunk driving and vandalizing on Halloween. Places step up police presence in public places to enforce curfews, ensure public safety, and set up more DUI checkpoints. So DUI is people that drive under the influence, and that is somebody that is intoxicated with alcohol or with a drug. Inappropriate costumes are well known and are all over the shopping mall. We really don't have to go into too much. I'm sure that many of you have seen with your parents when you went out the inappropriateness of these costumes. This is not of our dignity, those who follow the Alawite, to wear such costumes. And it is not correct to wear inappropriate costumes. It's actually haram if one is wearing inappropriate clothing, even in a general sense, let alone on just a date night of Halloween. Islam is a complete way of life. God perfected it in the final days of the Holy Prophet. We see in Quran, Surah 5, Ayat 3, "This day have I perfected for you your religion and completed my favor on you and chose for you Islam as a religion." We do not need to copy the ways of Satan worshippers and the Christians to have fun. Alhamdulillah, the followers of the Alawid alayhi salam have many happy occasions to celebrate and make us happy. We can all remember all those Eids that we have celebrated that make us happy and are halal and are liked by the Alawid alayhi salam. Muslims are a minority in the North America and Europe. If we are not firm in establishing and holding to our values, then God forbid, a time may come that we would melt in the American melting pot, such that it will be difficult to differentiate between a Muslim and a non-Muslim child. To all my dear children and youth out there, Islam, we accepted the best and what is good, and we safeguard ourselves from things that contradict Islamic principles. And just the last note to them is that it's okay to be different. Sometimes we feel like when we are in school, we want to be like our friends or those around us. But just like they are different from one another, you too can be different, and that is perfect. That is totally fine. And you following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him happy and will please him, and your obedience to him will be very much rewarded in the hereafter and inshallah in this world. So that part ends for the children, and this is the next part for parents. So organize a fun event on October 31st, put together family night at the masjid, or even just a small get-together with friends. This will help your kids take their minds off Halloween and bond with other like-minded people so that they don't feel alone. Consider their school. You may also want to consider picking them up early or even not taking them to school on the day there is Halloween party. Offer to meet your child's teacher to discuss you and your child's concerns. For myself and my family, we do not allow the kids to go to Halloween that whole day. We take them out. There's not just a party, but other activities that go on. And for other schools that don't have a majority of Muslims, I do know that they do a lot of coloring Halloween pictures, and they do a lot of crafts and arts for Halloween. So you certainly want to talk to your teachers even right now about it, say that you don't participate in it, you don't want to do it, because the kids are probably already kind of doing that at school, and you want to have the teachers on board with your beliefs as well, so that it doesn't contradict. And they can, you know, do different things at the time, like color different pictures, do different crafts, so that they're still doing something, but not doing the Halloween stuff. So the fatwa, Sayyid Khamenei fatwa, taken from Islam Pure Fatwas, from the leader's office. The fatwa is not on the main site. So the question is, this is a festival in which children dress in costumes and stop by people's house asking for candy. Its origins lies in the ancient pagan English customs regarding evil spirits and demons. The Catholic Church converted it to a holiday for the souls of the dead Christians. Currently, it doesn't have a religious connotation. However, the image of black magic, witches, spirits, and death are still present. Is it permissible for a Muslim to A. give candy to children who come to their house on that day? B. decorate one's house according to the customs of the people? And C. dress their children in costumes and take them around to receive candy? The answer. If engaging in this practice results in promoting erroneous thinking, so superstition, in the furthering of corruption, or in the strengthening and spreading of their culture, whereby it would become desirable to adopt their culture, such activities would not be permissible. Again, from Ayatollah Sayyid Khamenei, the question was, can we celebrate Halloween and do trick-or-treating and wear costumes as long as hijab is maintained, unless it leads to corrupt consequences or would support false culture, it is no problem by itself. Ayatollah Sayyid Al-Hakim, is it allowed for us to send our children for trick-or-treating on Halloween on October 31st? The answer, it is not permissible to celebrate festivals which are alien to our religion. If it encourages or propagates another religion, or if it is based on a desolation of the Islamic personality of the Muslim individual and the values of a non-Muslim society. If a believer lives in a society where this is prevalent and involvement in it is an indication of good companionship, then it is permissible. So, the discussion on fatwa. We have no direct fatwa by our marja. Why? Because naturally, we do not have some specific ideas of these types of things, because it may differ from one place to another, from one time to another. There are so many things that we should consider to understand these rules. Maybe we do not have the direct fatwa from our marjas to say that this participation is haram, but as we see in their fatwas, there are some conditions. And if you look at the realities of the participation and actions and ceremonies nowadays, we see that those issues are not considered, which help to have some halal participation. And this is the type of ceremonies we see nowadays. Indirectly, the marjas are saying it is not allowed to have these types of actions. This was from Sheikh Rastifar. It was done privately in a discussion. So advice from a scholar from Ayatollah Sistani in a group, he emphasized a lot on two major things. One, upbringing of children, starting from the baby stage for teaching our deen, our aqad, into walaya, salat, etc. by us practicing it. It was also concerning for our iman in the West and for the physical well-being. It told us that he keeps us in his daily du'as. His other advice was of checking slowly creeping atheist cultures into our homes. Look around. If you're celebrating Halloween this October, or you have adorned a Christmas tree and blind following, or to blend in, you were part of his concern. So Halloween in the West. Drinking, haram music, vandalizing, violence, which is rape and fighting happens, inappropriate dressing, haram mixed gathering. But can you celebrate this night without bad intentions and doing the haram? A question I have been asked, and I am about to answer it with the help of Sheikh Rastafar. Two ayats from the Quran, incorporated in piety and God-wariness, but do not cooperate in sin and aggression, and be wary of Allah, indeed Allah's severe retribution. As for those who deny our signs, we will draw them into ruin, whereas they do not know. So, explanation of the ayats. In Surah Araf, it is talking about the gradual move towards badness and towards hell. We have this istiraj, a religious term, and for different groups, istiraj means that sometimes Allah will punish some people and bring them down step by step, not all of a sudden. It could be years, even centuries, and maybe some people are coming down and they're going towards the punishment of Allah, towards hell. We have it for kufr. We have it for those people who actually deny the signs of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, kufr, and deny the signs which are in a way similar in their Arabic meanings. It's not just to deny the existence of God. the necessity of having some prophets from God, denying the Holy Quran, for example. No. If I am sure about something which exists in religion, like we have Salat that exists in religion, if I know respecting my parents is very important to highlight it highly in our religion, anything that I know, this is from God. If I try to deny that or ignore it or act opposite to it, it could be a sort of kufr. Sometimes, actually, our reasoning, our heart, can help us understand that something is wrong, that something can be not good, but still we want to do that action, even though it is against what we know or what we feel or what we understand from Islam. This could be a type of kufr in our level, and of course, we have different levels of kufr. One of the consequences of this type of denial is that we will gradually lose those previous feelings of committing such a bad act. So let's just imagine that a person wants to look at a non-mahram. That person has some bad feeling about that. But if he does that, the next week or next month or next year, it would be different. He would eventually, or she would eventually, lose the shameful feeling that they once had in the beginning, no more, and from doing this bad action. This is istiraj. If we do something like this type of ceremony, if we participate in it, and if we don't listen to what our heart said about the type of holiday or what we understand from our religion on these types of actions, if we do not pay attention to them and just ignore them, then gradually, year after another, we will become further away from satisfying Allah. And we actually don't feel that we are getting further away from Allah. But after 10, 20, 50, or maybe at the end of our lives, we will then realize we are very far. And this, of course, is not good. These are some hadiths that the Sheikh had given, and an explanation to the hadiths as well. O Shia people, be such a beauty for us. And do not be ashamed for us. Keep all ugliness away from us. O Sukrain, good action is good from anyone, but it is better from you because of your relationship with us. If bad deed is bad from anyone, but it is worse from you due to your relationship with us. Some issues are clearly permissible and some others are clearly forbidden. And there are some doubtful issues. Anyone who abandons doubtful issues will be saved from the prohibitions, and anyone who does not abandon them commits prohibition and will perish whence he knows so not. So the explanation of these hadiths. All above hadiths are related in saying that we as Shias are supposed to be very careful about our actions. We are supposed to manifest the beauty of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and perfection of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the way of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. With our deeds, we are supposed to be the best ones. As a follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, we need to show this manifestation by action, not mere words. If we consider some good people today and their ideas of superstition in these types of ceremonies, if we consider their understanding about from these types of things, and what would be their idea if they really realized that some of our Shias are practicing in these types of gatherings? What would they think about us? Certainly, they do not appreciate these types of things, and they do not appreciate the people who are participating in these types of things. So if I do this in my life, if I actually attribute something negative to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, in the view of those people who do not like these types of things, and who see these types of things as ugliness, meaningless, something that distracts from a higher purpose, lahi laib, it's not good, of course. It's not just about my personal joy, or my pleasure of my parents, or the pleasure of my children. No, I should think about the community of Shia. I should think about the image I put out of the community of the followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Is it good for followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam to be involved in these types of things or no? If it is clearly, if it is definitely clearly not to participate in them, then definitely I should leave it. But if I have some doubt, if I don't know if this type of action is good or not, then it is time for the last hadith. We have some hadith. Let's say we have some very clear halal and some very clear haram. We, of course, do the halal and leave the haram. There is some area for something which is not clear to be included in halal and haram. So we have many things we don't know the hukum, the wisdom of, and sometimes they are doubtful. Sometimes we know they are mubah. However, I'm not talking about mubah because mubah is included in halal, of course. There is no problem to have mubah in life. No, I'm talking about something which is doubtful. For an example, smoking. Sometimes we have doubt if it is permissible or not. If it is harmful, can it be permissible or not? So imagine there are some actions which are doubtful. We don't know if it is halal or haram. Allah Bayt and the Holy Prophet ﷺ, they tried to explain it to people. The best action about the shubahat, so ambiguous, and those subjects which are not clear, is to leave them. Why? Because if we leave something that which is doubtful, imagine on the Day of Judgment, or later on, inshallah, the time of Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, if we realize then that the action was haram, then alhamdulillah, we had left them before and did not commit them. Actually, there is nothing for us to lose about them because, alhamdulillah, we did the right action. And if it was halal, it was not wajib. So again, we didn't lose anything because there are lots of things that are halal, but they're not supposed to be actually in our lives. They are mubah. You can have them or you can leave them. But if we do not leave these types of things, and later on we realize that they were haram, of course, definitely, we would have some kind of punishment for them. Or, if not punishment, we will see some harm and natural consequences of them in our lives. So, rationally, it's better to do ihtiyat, precaution. It is actually better to be precautious and leave them in order not to fall into a sin. Allah loves this type of precaution, this type of consideration. This is taqwa, the awareness of Allah that prevents someone from sin. Of this person, to leave something that is not certain to be haram, but later on we find out that it is haram. To leave this action is the manifestation of taqwa. It is very highly appreciated in the teachings of Islam, the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. If it is clear for us that these types of holidays actually have root to negative things, some bad teachings, some satanic customs, and it is clear that it comes from a satanic voice, then of course we have to leave that. If we do not know at look, if we do not look at it, with this really ugly dirtiness there, we cannot say that it is clearly haram, but there are some facts to consider. It is better to have ihtiyat. When we look at businesses, they are promoting wrong teachings, ideas, and ideologies. There are actions that are below its dignity for the followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, asking something from people that are definitely not allowed in Islam, receiving something that may be haram. If we consider these types of things that are going on and we look at the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam about having precaution in a life or demonstrating the beauty of the maktab or manifesting the perfection of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam as much as possible for us. If we consider them, we realize that we're supposed to leave these types of things. It's better for us, our kids, our community. If we do not leave these types of things, then God forbid, maybe we may become by it istiraj, or from the next generation to the next, we lose our Islamic culture and will miss out on what we had learned from the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. We would also have the natural effects of the bad action that it was not clear to us. Quran reminder. And those who believed and those descended follower them in faith, we will join with them their descendants, and we will not deprive them anything of their deeds. Every person for what he earned is retained. Holy Quran, Surah 52, Ayat 21. It is the evil ones who disbelieved teaching people magic. Holy Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 102. Many of the people of the scriptures wish that if they could turn you away as disbelievers after you have believed out of envy from their own selves, even after the truth has become manifested unto them, but forgive and overlook till Allah brings His command. Verily, Allah is able to do all things. Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 109. And whosoever seeks a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted of him, and in the hereafter, you will be of the losers. Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 85. And that is the lesson that I had, the lecture that I had written and prepared on Halloween. Here are my sources. Of course, throughout the lecture, at the bottom, I had mentioned the Sheikh's name, who had looked over these slides and also added to it. And alhamdulillah, he added a lot to it. So I want to give him a special thank you, and may Allah bless him and his family greatly. May you all be able to reflect and see the true beauty of Islam and follow its ways, inshallah, that we act upon it. We learn our knowledge and we act upon it, inshallah. Please do make special dua for all those who are being oppressed and who are in severe need of your duas, and do make a special dua for the hastening reappearance of Imam Zaman. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.